Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and I am pumped to be here this week to encourage you on this awesome journey called a faith journey in God. Joining me today to encourage you is the producer of VFN Radio program. The one who puts it all together is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And the one, the only, on the edge of this great city, John Ramos.
Hello.
We're going to be talking today about so many interesting things. We just heard today that the Queen of England is endorsing gay marriage. We're looking at four asteroids that passed through our atmosphere this week, and we didn't even know it till they showed up. I wonder if it was Saturday morning when God was showing us about the asteroid. Talk to you about daylight savings times, a little humorous moment about Pat trying to catch a taxi ride in Israel. Hopefully the citizenship test, and I had a wonderful chance to be able to catch the Brownsville Revival, the Church of His Presence in Mobile, Alabama, where Steve Hill got a chance to be able to speak, and I'll talk about that a little bit. Also, Scared Straight, an interesting program, and so much more. You're listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
My goodness. Here it is, man. I am so excited about this week and talking about what the Lord. You know, the Lord just speaks. If you didn't know this or not, it's all about a personal relationship with God. He says that my sheep know my voice, and they follow me, and they follow none other. And I just want to encourage you this week. Say, commit to this week. Say, you know, Lord, I want to know your voice. I want to follow you. Because you look at men, they're going all kinds of directions. They're going every which way. I mean, you could just take your television and scan through news channels, and one news channel is going up, and the other news channel is going down, and the other one's going sideways. And then you turn the same news channel the next day, and they're saying something opposite of what they said. You know what they're doing? They're reading a teleprompter. But let me tell you something. In God, it's called a Jesus prompter. He prompts us and leads us alone, as he directs us. And it's a powerful, powerful thing. And the voice of the Lord is coming back to the church in a powerful way. And there's nothing. A lot of people are scared to hear his voice because they think, oh, my goodness, you know, what's he going to tell me?
I'm going to have to do something.
I'm going to have to do something, or I might have to stop something.
Yeah.
And the thing is you got to understand, we're going to talk today about that very thing in regards to, you know, finding a place of rest, understanding that God's heart is good towards you and his plans are good to you. And he wants to be able to give you a place of rest for your soul, which is what you think, what you want, and what you feel. That's kind of how it expresses itself, your thoughts, your desires, and your feelings. And there's a resting place in God. He's not going to put more on you than you can bear, and we're going to talk about that. It's the enemy that tells you that being a slave to sin and a slave to this dark world is freedom, and walking with God is bondage, but it's the opposite. Paul writes about it when he writes to the church of Rome. He says, listen, truly, if you continue to sin, you're a slave to sin, but because you're a slave to whoever you obey. But what happens when you yoke yourself to Jesus? You're free. You're free. Now, if you go through some rough times, it's only because you're fighting against the yoke. Mm-hmm. And Jesus is not wrong, which means the yoke is on you, right? There's something that you need to do. Man, I just heard this week, John, this week, four asteroids passed through our atmosphere, and we didn't even know it until they showed up.
Wow. Four.
Four large asteroids. You know, and we just had a couple, you know, meteorites. And these are all really same thing. It just depends on what particular atmosphere they hit or something. It's big rocks falling from the sky.
Hello.
Boulders, as a matter of fact. We know somebody that just the Lord is speaking to them about. You know, rocks falling from the sky, big rocks and boulders falling from the sky.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And why God is saying this to her, four big rocks, boulders, are flying through our atmosphere. And we didn't even know it until they showed up. And they just say, it's a matter of time. It's just a matter of time until they come and you think about it. If you go back and go to the VFN Torch, go to VFNTV.com and click on the Torch, you know, read these prophecies, read these prophetic words, and understand that we've seen large boulders on fire like the sun going down into oceans. And that would create a huge tsunami that would cover, it was in the Gulf of Mexico, it would cover everything from Texas to all the panhandle of Florida probably, and up some. And if it was on the East Coast, it would, because most of the civilizations like on the East Coast or the waters, you know.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it wouldn't take much to just to wash. I mean, did you, Don and I had a chance to see that movie about the... The tsunami that happened in the Indian Ocean, and it's from a family's perspective. They're on vacation there, and they're just all of a sudden swimming in the pool, and everybody just kind of hears this noise, and they look, and these palm trees are shaking. And next thing you know, this like 15-foot, 25-foot of wall, just water just comes washing through there.
Oh. I saw the trailer for that. That was intense.
Was it not intense? You know, I don't normally watch stuff like that. It was kind of like, oh my goodness, this is sad. But it was so good. It was a true story. And I would tell you the name if I knew it. Maybe it'll come up during today's program. But it was just so cool. This family just broke apart, obviously, because they had a mother and a father, and they had two boys. And when the water hit, you couldn't hang on to nobody. It just kind of just eventually got trees. The mother got divided from her husband, and... And the 12-year-old boy just became a man and began to just drag his mother along, put her up in a tree, because they're thinking, at any moment, another one's going to come. They didn't have that trust anymore. After one hits, they just knew that another one's going to hit.
Right.
And so he literally drug his mama and through her half strength, because her leg was just gashed bad, up into a tree. And you just go through this whole drama with the family. And they're divided. There's obviously no phones. There's no communication. They didn't even speak the language there. I guess it's Thailand, maybe. I can't tell you which particular place it was, but it was like Thailand. And they have these hospitals that are like shacks with thousands of people dying and crazy things going on. And the boy's just hanging with his mother when they finally got to this particular place. And he thought she had passed away. Thought she had died, you know, and he's here, left all alone in this strange country. They put him in, you remember the mentor tent that we used to have? We would put the mentors in this tent, and then we put their name on them, and we would wait and pray that their mentor would show up.
Yeah.
Well, once his mother had passed away, they took him in a place and wrote his name on a piece of paper, which was kind of like, he was orphaned, obviously, and put him in this tent with these other kids, and it just kind of dawned on him at a certain point. It's like, I'm all alone in a strange land. Of course, everybody else's name is written in Thai or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And
Is the movie called The Impossible?
Probably. Sounds like it.
Okay.
And it was good because it reminds you that, you know, God is just holding everything together at any moment. At any moment, you know, mansions and shacks all washed into the sea with tsunamis. Even nuclear reactors washed into the sea with tsunamis. And so... But with that, you know, they made it. He finds out later on that his mother, they put her in another room. They carried her on a door. Put her on some old truck, bouncing around through the jungles, trying to get her to the hospital. And then the father stayed back where the mother wasn't and just going through all this jungle, screaming and hollering for his kids and his wife, that whole thing of losing your family.
Hmm.
And he's just screaming at the top of his lungs, and you're knowing, like, she's up on the mountain in the hospital thing, you know. You're never going to find him out. You're going to die out here. Oh, my goodness. But he didn't listen to me. And and so he puts his two boys, he had three kids, puts his two boys on a truck with these strange folks that he don't even know and says, listen, I got to stay here. And the little boy's like, no, Dad, don't go. And also the truck just pulls off with the little boys.
Mm.
And so they're riding on this truck with these Thai boys, and they don't know each other. And just everybody's just scattered and chaotic, and then one particular man finally just says, "Listen, you're gonna need to. It's not gonna work, or whatever. You know, maybe we go to look in the hospital. Maybe they're in the hospitals or wherever the camps are." And so they take him up. He gets on some truck and starts looking around from every single bed, thousands of beds, just checking beds, going up and down and looking, and just people are just, it's horrific. And just disease, and people got infected by worms and things that was gotten, and they swallowed the waters and all that with all the sewage and everything around
Parasites,
there. Parasites, yeah. Oh, it was
nasty.
Yeah. And you just don't think about all this, how God keeps everything into check, you know? Wow. And then you do when it's not in check. And so it's like this at one moment, the son, the mother's son who went with her, the 12-year-old boy, he's walking through helping people find their relatives. His mother is real tough. She's like, go do something. Don't just sit here. Go do something. Go help somebody or something. So he went around trying to match people up. And they said, I'm looking for so-and-so. So he ran to all these different beds. Are you so-and-so? Are you so-and-so? So-and-so? And he finally matched these parents up. It was just an awesome moment. But one kid that they rescued on the beach, this little small toddler, he actually got to look and find out that he met his father. But he's thinking his father's dead at this point, you know.
Oh, wow.
And it's just all these emotions. Like, oh, my goodness. And then... I guess I'm telling you about the movie. And so then, then you already know a tsunami came. It's not going to be a surprise. And finally, all of a sudden, you know, you had the mother was looking for the boy. The boy was looking for some patient. The two little boys that were put on the truck were passing by the same place. And they stopped because the little boy's like, I got to use the bathroom now. And so he runs over and the truck's about to leave him. And then the father shows up with that man. He's looking around and they're like all about to miss each other. I'm like, no, turn around, look behind you. There he is. And it's like, oh my gosh, this is it. You're going to leave, you know. And they heard me this time. And and they looked and the 12-year-old boy looked back and saw his dad. They saw his brothers first.
Yeah.
And then he screamed when he saw his brothers. And then the dad turns around and sees the son. And then the son, then all of them see. Because takes him to his mother, and then somebody flies in from Singapore, flies them out of business. He's a businessman, and flies his whole family to Singapore, and they're on this plane flying out, and they all survived. This is a true story.
Wow.
And they all survived. Oh, and it was so cool awesome. Watching this 12-year-old go-free whatever kid, you know, become a man, you know, and save people and go through those turmoils and trials and take care of his mother and this toddler and locate people and be rejected and put in a orphaned and his whole mindset he's going through. And he comes out, you're just thinking, you're so proud of this 12-year-old boy.
Mm.
And so he tells his mother on the plane as they're flying out and she's on a stretcher in this plane says, oh Ma, remember the boy that toddler that we rescued? Cause he was kind of like, hey Ma, we're gonna have to let this kid go. I can't drag you and her. I'm only 12. No. And, she says, we've got to rescue him. And of course he took that hard on. And he told her about the boy who found his father. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. I'm glad it was dark in there because I was like leaking. I was leaking. I'm like, oh, my. And it's true. You know, I'm like, to go through such hardship. I mean, who is this that holds back the seas?
Mm.
Who is this that says rain this much and no more? Who is this God that says wind speed this far and no more? You know, Who's the God that says, stop this destruction, peace be still? Let me tell you something. We don't need to take for granted our God, who is in control of everything. He's looking for us to have faith in his control of everything. I mean, think about it. When the disciples were on the boat and they were crossing over the Galilee and the storm came and they just thought they were going to, you know, they thought they're literally going to die.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess going through the same kind of mindsets and all. And Jesus was with him, but he was sleeping in the bottom of the boat. And granted, that boat was not like a cruise ship or anything. But he was sleeping in the bottom of the boat. And then finally, you know, because he's the one who said, listen, we're following you. You said, you know, we went where you want us to go. mm-hmm. What you doing sleeping? We're going to die. And Jesus says, wake me up in 5 more minutes. He's like, great. Isn't that just wonderful? You know, you have little faith. Here, you know, you've seen people healed, dead, raised. You're seeing you know, the creator, my father, say, this is my son, listen to him. And all these things are happening, and now you're scared about wind and rain. You know, and then finally he just goes, peace, be still. And it was just amazing. The whole storm just stopped. And it's like, we got to have faith and understand. And what, a lot of times where we lose our faith is the fact that all the times that he did keep it in check, we just didn't even acknowledge it. We didn't say every day, God, thank you for giving me nice weather and giving us nice weather. Thank you for giving us a crop of food. Thank you for blessing the work of my hand. Thank you for keeping the oceans at bay. Or thank you for keeping the winds calm. Or, you know, just thanking him for that because he is doing it.
Right.
And he says, you know, consider hardship as discipline. God's treating you as a son. And he said, you know, thank you, Lord, for keeping locusts off of our crops. Somebody said, there's no locusts. Right. That's the reason why. You know, it's
right?
Some people only pray against locusts once, or thank God for removing the locusts when locusts show up. It's like, why not thank them now before we don't, there's no loci, which there is, by the way. Egypt and Israel's having a massive infestation of massive locusts that are coming across Egypt. We talking about a sign?
Yeah.
I mean, a sign, and I really, prophetically, Egypt's going to be humbled what they're doing. I mean, it's not, I mean, they're, things are acting up, and, you know, we're feeding their drug habit. But, you know, God's going to deal with all that. And locusts, think about it, locusts are infesting.
They said small flying birds they look like. Small flying birds. Windshield, couldn't drive, pulled over on the side of the road, could not drive.
Couldn't see. Couldn't see because the moon turned to blood. No, I'm sorry. it's just like, oh my goodness, these are signs. You know, it's like, my goodness. You know, what? That's just amazing what's taking place. God, listen, God has blessed America, and he's blessed a lot of things and people. But he's, if you're a believer, let me tell you something. You're blessed that God lives inside of you. Think about that. The creator of the universe, his spirit dwells inside of you. There's nothing more precious than that. And this is what he says. He says, don't you know it? You're the temple of God. It's not that building up the street. What identify? I mean, it's cool that you guys can get together in something that covers you and blows cold air on you and has a nice place to sit. But that's not the temple. The temple, you're the temple of God. And he's saying, listen, what happens when you start realizing, oh my goodness, I got some things in my temple that are not right. The word of God no longer applies to that building up the street, trying to be all political and stuff and tell them, this is a sinful carpet. And it's like, dude, get the idol out your heart. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And it's like, it's about us. And he said that light and darkness should not dwell together in the temple. People are like, throw that CD ministry out of this church. They're like, come on, dude. He's talking about the CD ministry in your heart. That's nothing to do with buildings and things, you know? God now dwells with man. And the same Jesus, when these storms are happening in the earth right now, and all these things, it's like birthing pains are taking place, and the earth is just shaking and quaking, and all these things are taking place. Understand that we can go down and lay down beside Jesus and go to sleep. I mean, not be lethargic and not be an irresponsible person, but that we can sleep well no matter what happens because our God is in control. Isn't that awesome? Our God is in control. We got so much to tell you. We'll be right back in just a moment.
You know, John, I have been so encouraged listening to you and sharing your stories about Elijah and Isaiah and Maya and how you got to spend time with them at one of their baseball games, how encouraged they were with the fact that that you were just simply there. Your presence, just being with them, encourage them. Tell me about that.
Well, that's cool, man. I can understand what you're saying because I feel that way when I know that God is near me.
Yeah.
You know, when I have a relationship with him and I know that he's present, he's not far away. He's not too far that is, you know, he can't reach out to me, not too far that his eyes are not always on me. And maybe you are listening today and you wish that you had a father to be in your life, or you wish that somebody was there to watch you. I want to tell you that you're not alone. Many of us have experienced the same things in our lives, and we wanted to know more about God ourselves.
Yeah.
But it was a journey. We were all on a journey. Isn't that right, Steve?
Absolutely.
And that journey brought us to a point where, you know what? I want to meet the Father.
That's right.
I want to meet Father God. And so some of us have shared our stories. You know, a lot of it's not pretty, but what is? But what it truly is, it's real. Mm. And if you're looking for a story, a real life story that would help encourage you, I want to ask you to find out more at meetmyfather.org, where real people have gone through real things to find the real Father. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. Steve, Pat, mm-hmm. I got to tell you, I've had two experiences when it comes to reading the Bible. I've read the Bible before, mm-hmm. and it was like a dictionary.
Yeah.
Didn't make any sense. Right. Couldn't understand it.
Right.
And after one page, I said, okay, that's enough.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But then I've had another experience.
Yeah.
And that's when I spent time abiding with God.
Big difference.
That the Bible literally has come alive. Mm-hmm. That which with each word as I read, each verse, I just sense God's presence with me.
Mm-hmm.
I sense that he's speaking to me. And I find that his word gives me direction. It gives me the light that I need. I tell you, if you've read the Bible before and you're struggling because it just doesn't make sense, maybe you don't know where to start, I want to encourage you to get a plan at iabide.org. It's a plan, a very simple plan. It's going to help you to have an abiding relationship. What does that mean? That means that you're going to find a set time, a set place where you're just not going to try to study the Bible because you can't study the Bible. It's not a tutorial.
Mm.
It's not a textbook. It's a living book that comes with the author. You're going to have an opportunity to sit and engage God, and he's going to engage you. iabide.org, where you can learn to hear the voice of God. If I've heard this once, I've heard it too many times. When I run into someone and they tell me, I just don't want to be a part of a crowd. I just don't want to be part of another group. I don't want to be another number.
Yeah.
And I just don't want to go to an event. Mm. I want to experience God.
Yeah.
I want to enjoy fellowship with God's people. And I want to grow. I want to be a true disciple.
Mm-hmm.
I want to learn of his ways. I want to abide with him and spend time with him. And I want to hear God for myself. I'm no longer interested in being a spectator, but I want to get in the game.
Yeah.
I want to fulfill the great commitment. I want to fulfill the great commission, but I just don't see where I fit in the crowd. If that's you and you have a longing to fulfill the call of God in your life, if you have a longing just to truly be what God's called you to be, a son and daughter of God, a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you want to be a part of a family that's not just spectating and watching others do it, but are actually doing it together, I want to encourage you, find out more at vinefellowshipnetwork.org.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat and John.
Well, you know, it's daylight savings time. It happened this weekend. So if you're listening here with us live, and I know you've already set your clocks. You've probably been already late if you missed it to whatever you had going on yesterday. But daylight savings time, this is some interesting information. I don't know if you knew this, guys.
Oh, no, but, I don't. I don't know yet.
Yeah,
totally.
You know,
what don't I know?
Well, Pat is the information. We don't Google. We just ask Pat. You know, we just ask Pat.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
But Pat, you may or may not know this. I don't know, but let's give it a try. Daylight savings times was first introduced during World War I. And it was to conserve
Woodrow
resources.
That was so he could go around and give his speeches when he's trying to get information. I knew that was what it was.
Yeah,
because he sent speakers on train rides.
Oh my goodness! Is that what he did?
Oh my goodness! It was Woodrow. I knew somewhere he was in here.
Woodrow.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, listen, it wasn't until 1966 that they had a Uniform Time Act that was supposed to, you know, standardize the system. And back in 2008, they did a survey to find out how much daylight we're actually, you know, how much resources we're actually saving energy. They said we saved 0.5%. And it was enough energy to power 122,000 homes every year, right? But so many times, I mean...
That was back then. It was only a light bulb.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
But you think about it. I like daylight savings. I like more time. They say, you know, this study says that they reduce crime, I guess, because people are outside in their neighborhoods. But, you know, 1 hour, just 1 hour, supposedly, right? 1 hour of daylight saving times a week, so actually seven hours a week and about 28 hours a month.
Did you really get it up? I never added it up.
Well, you know, okay. Inquiring minds want to know.
Yeah,
you
I
know.
Like that. It's, you're giving me a whole new perspective.
224 hours a year, because it's 8 months, you know, period from now. They moved it up because it used to be in April. Now they moved it up in March. Yeah, March to November. But you look at that and you, a lot of people just think, well, okay, more time to be outside. But you think about it, an extra daylight hour. You know how many things that you can do to be fruitful in the kingdom of God in an extra daylight hour?
Oh, wow, yeah.
I mean, think about it, you know. One of the things is that, you know, Pat's really, you know, encouraging me in this area about getting in shape and looking at his, you know, his regimen that he does. But
amazing, isn't it?
Amazing. I mean, amazing.
Coming in here with his little Nike sweatband on his head. You know, his Walkman. And his little, you know, basketball shorts.
Well, you remember those plastic suits that you used to wear?
And his poodle. Yeah, I heard about his poodle when I was out of town. That was awesome, man. What's his name? What's the poodle's name?
No comment.
No comment. Oh,
my goodness. Well, fitness. You know, you want to be able to be prepared and energized and full of health to do what God's called you to do and to be fruitful in the season that he's called us to be fruitful.
Are you talking to me?
Yeah, I'm talking to all of us, talking to myself. But, you know, getting outside and getting some fresh air.
It's different, though. I mean, you're only like half, you know, the issue.
Yeah.
It's different when you're, I'm probably twice as long.
Yeah, but when you're short, you know, just it's still like a round ball, at least if you're tall. You know what I'm saying? Just, you know. Yeah.
Somebody says, I ran the dash. They weren't talking about an athlete. I look like a dash, you know.
Oh, my goodness. Well, more time. You can be out in the neighborhood. You can go out and meet your neighbors. And just being out in the mix with this extra sunlight, you know, let's just, to me, I'm feeling challenged. Like, seize that extra hour for God. And don't just count it just for another opportunity to just enjoy the summer and to do me time. But think about it, how you can be blessed and how you can be bless others. You know, I found out during the hurricane that most people don't even get a chance to meet their neighbors. And I didn't get a chance to meet my neighbors until a tragedy hit, and now we're outside and talking and helping each other out. But use that extra hour to be out, walk your neighborhoods, and have the opportunity to share the love of God with someone. People, especially in the Northeast, now that the weather's nice, they're starting to, you know, peek out their houses and come outside their homes.
The cubby holes, right?
Is it safe? Is it warm?
No. What do they call that? What do they call Groundhog Day? Peek outside and see if it's good.
So during this year, you maximize that hour. The 224 daylight hours we have in this 8 months.
Right.
Use it for God. Use it for God.
That's amazing. We won't believe it. I don't shop. I don't shop. I'm blessed enough to have a wife.
I've seen you shop.
Yeah, you're right. It's amazing.
Go with a list.
It's amazing. Yeah, it's just amazing. But I went to go. We got this wonderful pollen blowing around right now. Trees are going like, yes, no, no, yes, no, no, yes. Yeah, they don't even know what to do, you know. Yep. And so I'm having this congestion. So I stopped by a CVS drugstore to be able to buy something, Mucinex, like this kind of thing that's a decongestion and that kind of thing. And I thought, I'm just going to run in there and get some decongestion, like sinus medicine, I guess you would call it. And so I go down this drug. I think a lot of drugs all the way down the aisle. You can from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. They got a lotion, a pill, or something for it. And but when I got to this particular medicine, it just was a piece of cardboard. It was a piece of cardboard. They don't even put the medicine on the shelf. I'm like, what? You know, so I had to read the cardboards.
Oh,
and then I took the piece of cardboard, and I had to read, where do you go with this piece of cardboard? And you don't go to the cashier. You have to go back to the drug counter.
Oh, pharmacist.
It's
yeah.
pharmacist in the back. And I go back, and I said, do you have any of these? And they're like, looking like,
why do you want this?
Yeah, well, you know, kind of watching my eye gate, you know, that kind of thing, and looking. I'm like, I got congestion. I got congestion. And he looks at me, he says, we don't have the 12, we have the 24. I'm like, okay.
Okay.
I mean, it's just like I was doing a, you know, coming from my law enforcement days, I felt like I was undercover, you know?
Yeah, right.
And finally he pulls it out and he says, you know, charges me $1 million for it. And and you look down this little credit card thing that you use a credit or a check card or whatever for. And he says, you have to read this statement. And I had to read a legal statement from the law that said that I'm going to go to jail. I'm going to go to jail. I'm like, I'm getting nervous. I don't know if I should get this Mucinex or not. You know, what have we gotten into? I'm thinking, like, this could just blow my whole ministry here. I mean, they got cameras on me. I'm buying Mucinex, you know. And they'll never believe that I just have congestion, you know? Yeah. And I'm sweating it. And of course, you know me, I'm talking out loud. Are you serious? You know? I feel like I'm breaking a law here. I said, can I use your name? I said, is this real? Can I take a picture of it? Like John would do. And then I had to sign it. I had to sign that I read the statement and that I would go to jail if I misuse my, Mucinex, the congestion medicine. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I thought I was done, but after that I had to pay for it. And I felt so like, I gotta watch this stuff. I gotta go buy me a safe or something, you know what I'm saying? And put this stuff in a safe. I mean, what if somebody breaks into my house and takes it and they go like, you had this drug in your house? And it's like, and I said, what in the world does somebody do with sinus medicine? At my age, it just makes me irritable when I take it. You know? What would you do? And he said, they make crystal meth with it.
Oh, wow.
They make crystal meth with antihistamines and stuff that's in that particular medication. I'm thinking, my God.
Amazing.
Oh, wow. My goodness. Get a job. You know what I'm saying? What are you doing?
You up,
and besides,
man.
One pack of it costs $25. I mean, I can imagine how much this crystal meth costs. Like, maybe it's cheaper.
Wow.
I walked out of there thinking, like, my goodness, I just felt like I came from a police state. I felt like I just came from a police state. But America is changing as we know it. So I just want to encourage you, when you do go to get some medication, like sinus meds, be prepared to sign your life away. And yes, you can be arrested for it.
Wow. Well, it's so exciting, you know, everything that is happening and everything we've been sharing. If you can get a chance to go to The Torch, we want to encourage you to go to The Torch by going to VFNTV.com and listen to all the highlights. But
did you catch the Brownsville revival that was in Alabama?
I saw a little bit of it.
Yeah.
But boy, I just love Steve. I mean, I just love.
He's so real.
You could tell he was on the sinus medicine too.
Yeah,
I love that. Like,
awesome. Bless his heart.
When I have to take medication, my kids just like to sit around me and talk to me. Why are you talking around me right now? You're just so relaxed, Dad. He was there for the Brownsville revival at Church of His Presence
reunion,
and he talked more about. We're gonna make this available on The Torch too. About his book, he wrote the vision out that he had about avalanche, what's taking place. In the next 6 months, he's going to dedicate and speak specifically on this prophetic word that just came in January, I believe. And you can find out the details on The Torch at VFNTV.com and click on The Torch. But his passion and desire, you know, for souls. And it was... There is a grace message being preached right now. Grace is awesome, but grace is not free.
That's right.
You know, it's not a permission slip to leave your relationship with Jesus and commit adultery on him or the world.
Right.
And there's this intense grace twist on God's truth that's being just promulgated, which is, you know, let me tell you something. Let me tell you what's worse than a lie. Is a religious lie. Because a religious lie will tell you this is how you get to God, this is how you have eternal life. But it's what, but they're telling you the wrong way, the wrong path. And you spend your whole life in a religious lie, and you end up in the same place with somebody who rebelled against God their whole life. You just spent your whole life being religious and doing things, but you just totally got the wrong path. Listen, grace is not a permission to sin, and grace is an empowerment by God to have us walk in a walk of obedience to God that amazes us. Because it's his grace that empowers us to walk in obedience to him. And it's his grace that patches us up when something happens in our life that we hate. Not that we love. You know,
it's the grace to do right, not the grace to do wrong.
It is definitely love. I mean, think about it. Can you imagine, okay, you get married and you know your wife says, you know, just thank God for the grace in our marriage, you know. And he goes, thinking the same way, he goes, yeah. And then she comes back the next day with like three boyfriends. You know, and she gets all angry and stuff, and she looks at him and she goes, "Grace, hon, Grace, hon." Yeah. He's like, "Yeah, you know, they ain't gonna work." Mm-mm. I mean, he would feel like you're being disloyal to him for some reason. Hmm. You know, he would probably be angry with you. Does it mean that he didn't love you? No, it means that the reason why he's reacting the way he loves you, and you know for the fact that if he came home with three girlfriends, you'd feel the same way.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're the bride of Christ. He's the bridegroom. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about it. We're called to be loyal to him, and the Father is watching us. He's preparing for Jesus a bride. A bride. And yes, we don't have a perfect life, but we don't plan sin. It's not premeditated. You know, when things happen, it would be a lesser charge. It's like it wasn't premeditated.
Right.
Right.
Somebody said, I don't know what it is. The last 10 years, I just keep falling into sin. That's like you're driving into it. That's not falling into it.
Yeah.
Like that's like literally using GPS and marking it and putting a little pin there in your little map system, and you're going back to it again. It's not falling into sin. That's driving into sin. But anyway, and you gotta hear it. I don't know if we have it up or not. The avalanche. Can you pull avalanche up while we're talking? And this prophetic vision of what God is saying is that the church is buried under false teachings, false like we're talking about grace, you know, the false perception of grace.
Right.
And grace is not a permission to sin. You know, grace is. My goodness, I'm just kind of like just thinking about that right now and understanding that it was like an avalanche just happened. And just imagine every piece of snow is another teaching that's wrong. And another piece of snow is a teaching that's wrong. And these are heresies. A heresy is this, that when God says it's left and somebody else says, well, it's not really left, it's kind of right and a little oblique to it or whatever, something of that nature. That's it's evil. It's a lie. It's a religious lie that tells you what you're doing is right when you're wrong. And what's happening right now in America is an avalanche of just all of this false teaching that's burying the church, and the church is just asleep. It's asleep. And you got to hear this. It's only just a couple moments, and there's more to it in his book, and you can get his book at Amazon.com or SteveHillMinistries.org. But listen to this prophetic word. It's a vision. It literally just showed up like on a movie screen right in front of him in January. Listen up.
The spiritual avalanche that could kill millions. This is coming to you from a man who has just passed through the valley of the shadow of death. Since my close call with eternity just a short while ago, everything has become clearer. I can hear his whisper. Unabated obedience has become my mandate. That is why I'm writing this word from the Lord. Recently, after enjoying quality time with Jesus, I was surprised by an alarming vision. I saw a massive, majestic mountain covered in glistening snow. It reminded me of the Matterhorn in the Swiss Alps. Its peaks were sparkling white, and I was amazed by God's attention to detail. It was so realistic, I wanted to go skiing. But I sensed that there was more that the Holy Spirit was about to reveal. As I closed my eyes, I was in a winter wonderland, bustling with thousands of vacationers. The ski lodge, condos, hotels, and cabins were at full capacity at this popular resort. Day quickly turned to night as the skiers, snowboarders, and sports enthusiasts were settling in. Anticipation grew as the snow began to fall. Everyone headed to bed believing tomorrow would be a day of sheer enjoyment on freshly covered slopes. For an avid skier, the exhilaration of being the first one to race down a new blanket of snow is a dream come true. Throughout the night, winter storms dropped several feet of new snow on the slopes. The night ski patrol was put on full alert. Their mission was clear. With the potential of killer avalanches, they took to their posts. I began to weep as the vision continued to unfold along with its spiritual application. The ski patrol operated like a well-trained platoon. Some boarded helicopters manned with small bombs. Others jumped on snowmobiles loaded with handheld explosive devices. What seemed to be a strategic group of sharpshooters were stationed at the base, maneuvering anti-tank weapons aimed at the snow-covered peaks. They fired their weapons at strategic points in the avalanche zone to force avalanches before the snow accumulated to a life-threatening depth. Left unchecked, the accumulation of heavy, dense snow packed on top of lighter snow could easily slide down with incredible speed and force, resulting in enormous damage and loss of life. The Lord began to speak. I trembled. The fresh new snow represented the false teaching that is steadily falling on the ears of the body of Christ. It has been and is a heavy snowfall. The skiers represented believers and non-believers, trusting the resort for a safe and memorable experience. As Christians, we have been warned to be sober and vigilant. 1 Peter 5:8. However, the present awe-inspiring teachings have lulled many into a deeper sleep. The layers upon layers of snow have been steadily covering the solid traditional truth of Christ. The truth is that foolish teaching in these days will become so fashionable, even the most dedicated believer could become deceived. Matthew 24:24. It's happening before our eyes. One spiritual leader said the other day, "You guys are old-fashioned holiness. We are modern-day grace. You live in bondage while we can do anything we want." Pastors and teachers worldwide have succumbed to heretical teachings, including universal reconciliation, deification of man, challenging the validity of the Word of God, including His judgments, and even lifting any boundaries, claiming His amazing grace is actually amazing freedom. You are free to live according to your own desires. Sound familiar? They had no king and did what was right in their own eyes. Judges 17:6. These popular self-proclaimed ministers of the gospel are covering the slopes and will be held accountable for the spiritual death of millions. Just as a ski patrol did in this vision, those who are aware of what's happening must take swift and accurate action. Their weapons of warfare must be aimed at the peaks and the avalanche terrain to dispel the lies. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers must be willing to drop spiritual bombs, fire anti-heresy missiles, and even drive into the danger zones armed with explosive truth to confront this avalanche. The generals of this generation must leave the war room and put their years of experience on the front lines. Friend, I humbly encourage you to heed this vision and take it before the Lord. I've written it just as it was given. My responsibility is to share with the body of Christ His words to me. The ears that hear and the hands that obey are out of my control. This is not just Steve Hill telling a story. Most of what the Lord shares with me is personal and remains in my heart. But I sincerely believe that this is a warning for this hour. Satan is snowing the saints, but it can be stopped. In the vision, I heard explosions. I saw dedicated Christian soldiers scrambling to do anything it took to bring down this avalanche before devastation occurred. One of the most powerful weapons we possess to combat this onslaught is the tongue. Let God set yours ablaze by preaching all the words in red. If we take action now, the result will be a tearing down of false teaching and a remaining layer of solid, God-given, biblical instruction that will save the lost, heal the sick, and strengthen Christians to do the true work of the ministry.
Oh my goodness, that is, and he began to talk on that in his book that he just is, as a matter of fact, it's just coming out as we speak, and you'll start seeing spots on throughout all the cable networks, CNN, mm-hmm. all those different programs to be able to see the advertising for this book. Mm-hmm. Just reading you just the table of contents, some of the chapters are called, of course, The Vision and Living Color, what it looked like, The Perfect Resort, which is today's church expression, majority church expression, and those that aren't in that expression are trying to become the perfect resort.
Mm-hmm.
The third chapter is Come One, Come All. Remember when we talked about that when America preaches today, the statement is, who can't be saved? But of course, when Jesus preached, mm-hmm. his very own disciples said, who can be saved?
Yeah.
No greater obligation, a good night's sleep. Everything looks so beautiful. A whiteout, fire on the mountain, hell on the highway, signs of the times, let it snow. False teachings coming down. And they won't listen. Powerful encounter that he had with somebody at a ski resort after that word came. And he's talking about how I used to believe this stuff. And then we have to get off that slab and say, you know what, we got to wake up. We got to wake up and do something about it. Listen, there's hope. There's hope if the sleeping church, awake, awake, O sleeper, awake. Listen, if in fact, we wake up and turn from our wicked ways, seek God for forgiveness, seek His face, humble ourselves, which means to become a disciple of the Jesus you claim to know, and to love your brother and sister in the Lord, love God and love others, and lead others to the same. Understand that if we just step up and begin to declare His truth, and that's what he's talking about. Those are the bombs that are going out. It's like, you know, truth's coming in, and like where somebody says, you know, grace. There's a particular mega church pastor in Dallas that just sends out a tweet to all of his followers or text to all of his followers that basically said, hey, if you're not having fun, it's not grace. If it's not, and it just goes on this whole detail. Oh. If you have any, it's just, if you feel like you're being held, it's just you're not moving in grace. Everything. Let's just party, basically. You know, it's like, oh my goodness, and you got thousands of people listening to you.
Wow.
Oh my goodness. Unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees, you will not enter into the kingdom of God. So if you haven't yet heard that vision. You can hear it on The Torch at VFNTV.com. And also you can find out how to get the book. And the book is like only 10 bucks or something that you can get. Mm-hmm. And there's nobody that delivered. I mean, obviously God touched the man of the hour. Mm-hmm. And Steve just came out of 4 years of fighting for his life.
On his deathbed.
His deathbed. And he's talking about, I can hear the whispers of God now. I can hear the voice of the Lord. And what's so cool is we've been hearing... You know, those that have been seeking God and abiding with the Lord is like, he's got it right. Mm-hmm. We're not all crazy. It is not. It is snowing and it does look all pretty, but it's wrong. Mm-hmm. It's totally wrong. Wide is the road that leads to destruction, and many go that way, but narrow is the gate, and few that find it that leads to eternal life. Jesus said that. I mean, how can you trump Jesus? How can you say, well, yeah, I know Jesus said that, but, you know, I was just reading a book by a twisted person who calls himself a minister. Yeah, they're a minister, but they're not a minister of Jesus Christ. They're a minister of, this is what Jesus said. Yeah, you listen to your father, all right, your father, Satan, who's the liar and the father of lies.
That's right.
Listen, that salvation is free, but it'll cost you everything. Mm. It's loyalty. We'll be talking about in the extra hour today about that Jesus calls us to be yoked to him, but his yoke is easy and his burden's light, but we are called to yoke ourselves to Jesus. Mm. You know, that's what you do when you get married. You say, you know, I'll take you to be my wife. I'll take you to be my husband. You know, you're yoking yourself to them. You're yoking yourself to them. And it's an expectation of both the husband and the wife that you're going to be loyal to them.
Mm.
And sad to say, in America right now, it's a lot of snow. There's a lot of snow. There's a lot of false teachings. And if only 82%, according to George, or only 18% or 19%, according to George Barna, is only of these regular church attenders are even reading their Bible, only 19%, and only 3% of those are even concerned about themselves in the context of why they're reading, which basically means 3%. Are walking with the Lord and listening to what he says and obeying him. And then 97% are robbing God of what's his. This is not good. At the same time, we're talking about God all day long and all of this, you know, whatever, everything goes type stuff. And it's like our nation, a storm is coming. It's brewing against us. The consequences of our sin is upon us. And for the church, for turning away from God and his ways and from serving him only while serving ourselves in darkness. Bondage is on the edge, the precipice. It's just like, and you can't see it. We're on the edge of great bondage, deep taxation. Listen, this bill's going to have to be paid. It's a strategy. You know, our current president is paying tribute to Egypt. That's what that is. $1.3 billion and the aircraft fighters. And he's just like Jehoiakim. He's paying tribute to Egypt. Everything's shouting to us. God's given us signs. He's showing us the things that are going. And everybody says, I want more. I want more. It's a battle between two kings, King Jesus or the kings of this world. When he says, listen, you know, it's SOS. Is it going to be Samuel, God's former government, or is it going to be Saul, man's former government? Are we going to be able to trust God? Are we going to say, listen, I want a government like them over there. I want government to take care of me and not God. Listen, it's cool to take care of people, but not when you say in lieu of God.
Mm-hmm.
Not when you say, listen, I don't want God. I don't want to serve God. I just want to whatever. And then you turn to government for everything. Listen, it's not that pretty. It's tragedy. Control is on the edge. Institutions are rising to be able to clamp down on you. Darkness is infiltrating. Things are not good. But if you repent, if you turn and say, God, I'm sorry. Lord, forgive me. Let me tell you something. He will come, forgive your sins, and heal our land. Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at bfntv.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at bfntv.com. You're listening to BFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.